It is After Hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Coming up in just a little bit, I want to talk some Giants. I want to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. and his performance at training camp so far, and a little personal story between myself and Odell that I want to share with you that's coming up this hour. And with today being the first day where football feels back to a degree, right? You had the Hall of Fame game tonight. I think it's still going on, but it's football. It may not be regular season football or playoff football, but it's football. And if you've been starving for football and you have such a thirst for football that you want it to be, to some degree, you know, wet your whistle, maybe quench it, you got that tonight. Which is why I think for now, and really probably going forward, because there's so many Tommies, I will be known as Tommy Football. Because
and like, you can call me Tommy Football.
Thank you. And really, there are so many Tommies. Like, obviously, the bread and butter Tommy is Positive Tommy. Like, that's the one I'm most known for. Then, of course, there's Delusional Tommy, or as the kids like to say it, Delulu Tommy. But there's also
Tommy the Pothole Slayer.
And there's also
Tommy the History Buff.
And I think there's
Ticker Tape Tommy.
Right. There's also
Tommy the Complainer.
Well, sometimes I do like to complain, especially when my flights are canceled, when I'm trying to get back from La La Land, Tinseltown, City of Angels, Los Angeles, my in-laws that live out in Beverly Hills. So you're damn right. When there's 40 feet of snow outside and my flight gets canceled, I can become Tommy the Complainer. But I'm also,
I am Tommy the Visionary.
That's right. I'm also
Tommy the Legend.
Thank you. I'm also,
I am Tommy the Family Man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking about families out there, because next year, for the first time ever, the Super Bowl is going to be on Valentine's Day. And let's be real, the NFL, they're pigs. And they have pretty much taken every single holiday, and they have 16 football games on every single holiday. You know, you had Thanksgiving. We were good with that. Now you have Christmas, which was an NBA day. So now the NFL has Christmas. This year, these pigs, they are having a Thanksgiving Eve game. And also, we know they have the Black Friday game now. Gee, that's great. Let's just have football every single day, every single holiday. And that's why I am Tommy the Family Man, because I'm looking out for families out there, because husbands that want to sit on the couch and basically unbuckle their pants and watch football, they can't on a holiday because their wife needs them, honey-do list, to do all these things. So I am Tommy the Family Man. I'm also
Tommy the Total Package.
And yes, I am Lex Lugauer. I'm also
I am Tenacious Tom.
Thank you. I'm also
Tommy Thirststraps.
That's right. Well, and listen, I mean, and I told myself to unfollow Sydney Sweeney on Instagram. I haven't. I just went on Instagram. Of course she pops up, and it's this video of her putting food in a blender in, quite frankly, well, I don't know if she needs it, but it was a kind of a push-up rock kind of situation. And there was obviously some innuendos going on there, and it completely distracted me. To the point where I had this whole segment I was building up here, the last Tommy anything, and my mind turned into mush. And that's why sometimes I can be Tommy Thirst Traps. Is there any more Tommies? I'm not sure.
Breaking news Tommy.
That's right. We are the premier show for breaking news here on WFAN. But I could also be, who else is there? Is there any other Tommies?
Rational Tommy.
Thank you. I am Tommy the Rationalizer. You're right. Thank you. Recorded Tommy. See, that's Tommy from the past. This is Tommy from the present. And soon I will be Tommy in the future. But there are many Tommies, and you never know which Tommy you're going to get on a nightly basis. I don't even know. But tonight, I think we have a new Tommy that is coming out, and that is Tommy Football, as we are now essentially in football season. Are we done with the Tommies? I'm not sure. We might have some more.
And you can call me Tommy Football.
That's right. Thank you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Here's my gift to you for the audience. Not just me, because I'm the greatest gift of all. But the gift that I'm going to give you now is a little thing we like to call Ask Tommy Anything. Now, this is a segment we used to do back in the day. And by back in the day, I mean, well, January through like April. And it's the one time a week you can call me up and ask me anything you want. It can be sports, don't get me wrong, but you could always call me about sports. This is your one chance to a week to call me and ask me whatever you want. you've heard the show enough. You kind of know my brain's all over the place. You know I have a lot of thoughts and opinions on a wide variety of topics. Now, there are certain topics we won't touch. I think they're pretty obvious what they are, so don't call about those. But anything else is really on the table. And if you'd like to hit me up on Twitter, you can. If you just don't want to wait on hold or you're a little nervous, you don't want to call me up. And I get that. I'm a generational talent. Who wouldn't be nervous? You could hit me up on Twitter at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer. And you can ask me anything on there. And like Ron Burgundy, I will read the teleprompter and I will answer your question. If you'd like to call the show and ask me something, you can, starting now, 888-808-1019. So 888-808-1019, that is the number to call to ask me anything. We'll do it for the final hour or so here in the final after hours of the week. And if you need a little help, maybe a little example, little sort of, hey, what is Ask Tommy Anything all about? Let's head out to Alec in the Bronx. He joins us with an Ask Tommy Anything. What could I do for you, Alec?
Tommy, we're going to have to put Tommy Football in the backseat and bring up Tommy Matchmaker because I need your help, bro.
Okay. Let me hear it.
I'm 23. I'm living in New York. I think I bring it to the table. I could hit it like Soto. I could tip it in like OG.
I got you.
But it's the evil world we're living in right now.
It is.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, let me ask you this. You say you live in Manhattan, you're saying, right?
Yes, I live in Manhattan now.
And you're looking, what, for a steady girlfriend, or are you just looking for hookups?
I'm looking for a steady girl. I'm trying to find my wife, bro. I'm trying
to 23?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, listen, to each its own. So, all right, you did ask me that. You're right, 23, and you're living in Manhattan, and you're trying to find a wife, you said.
Trying to settle down. I'm trying to bring a girl to Frankie and Johnny's Pond in the Bronx and take her to a chicken parm dinner.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. I got you. Yeah, well, hey, good luck. No. So you might be looking in the wrong places, although, listen, you could go meet a girl at the club, at a bar. Let me ask you this. What is your sort of overall approach? Are you more of a, hey, I go out and try to meet women, or I meet women at work, or like, what's really your strategy at 23 living in Manhattan?
At 23 living in Manhattan, whenever it comes my way. Sometimes I call God and I go to church looking for.
Hey.
Sometimes I go crawling through the streets looking for.
Yeah.
Sometimes I call WFAN looking for.
Well, listen, I mean, it's the right place to call. And what I would say is that it's, and I appreciate the call. It's hard for me to not couch this with. This is just me. But I do think society is kind of catching. I've had this take for a long time, and I think society is catching up to me. But I was a visionary. Of course, I am Tommy the Visionary. I would advise to not get married until you're in your 30s. Now, you say, well, Loogie, what if I find the one at 23? Well, you'll find another one at 31. That's what I would tell you. But And you might be laughing in the car. You might say that's cold or callous, but it's true. I think that, to get real deep here, I'd say that they're like, so think about it this way. If you meet somebody at 23, like our last caller, and you fall in love with her, you take her out for a nice eggplant parmesan sort of dinner, and you say, she's the one for me. Okay. How do you know that? Have you met every woman on this planet Earth? You have not. So she might feel like the one, and maybe she is, because I do think there is like 10 to 15, maybe more people that are out there that are your one. You know what I mean? And I always feel like I'm kind of in the middle of Ted Mosby and Barney Stinson. Like I probably am both of those people kind of combined into one. So I do think there are 10 to 15 women out there, if you're a guy, that are the one. But I'm also like Barney Stinson, where I'd say there's 100,000 of them that'll just want to have a good time on one night. So I think there's a healthy balance, but I do think you should wait till your 30s. I really do. And that's just me. Not everybody is wired the same way, but I think societally it's starting to catch up to that. And I've had that take for a very long time. I got married in my 30s. I think you can even get married in your 40s, quite frankly, but whatever. The advice I would give you is it's just gotta happen. If you try to force it, if you're trying to like, the worst thing you can do is, oh, I got to settle down. And you force the settle down, that rarely works and you'll regret it. When it happens, it happens. But if it happens in your 20s, run. That's what I would tell you. Because, well, listen, and I say that, but here's why I say it. You can always, you settle down at 30, you have kids, you have your career. You can't get the 20s back. The one thing in life you can't get back is time. I can't give that to you. I wouldn't, but I could punch you in the face. It'll heal. I could take $20 from you. You could earn it back. I can't give you your 20s back. I can't. There's nothing I can do about it. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. And don't spend your 20s saying, oh, I can't find the right one. You'll find her. Don't worry. And then when you find her, you'll be like, oh, I wish I didn't, and I wish I can get rid of her. I'm joking, but not really, though. So the idea there here is, Alec, is do your thing. Be you. You're living in the greatest city in the world at 23 years old. There's a lot of people in our audience right now that would trade their lives for yours. So enjoy it. Live it up to the fullest. And when it happens, it happens. And ideally, it happens after, you know, because even if you meet her at like 28, 29, and then you get married in your 30s, that's fine, too. That's totally fine. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to... We'll get back to the Ask Tommy Anything. Actually, you know what? Let's hit this one here. Sean in Oldbridge hasn't asked Tommy anything. What do you got for me, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, Tommy?
Hey, what's up?
I'm doing pretty good. So I got two questions for you. The first one is, what would you pick between cheese tortellini or ravioli with Alfredo sauce?
Ooh, ravioli. Ravioli. With Alfredo sauce, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go that one.
Yeah, I like that too.
I'm a huge ravioli guy, though. You know, that's I'm a sucker for ravioli. So you had me at hello on that one.
It's even better. All right. So the next one is, this one's a really tricky one. So you have the opportunity to become a manager of a bet. You could do your own fantasy baseball team. Here's the kicker to it: you could pick players from the '90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, all the way to the present. It has to be, you could choose from any player from each team that you like.
You're saying I can pick a player from each decade?
Yes, from the 90s all the way to the present, like 90s, 2000s, 2010s, ooh, all the way up to the present.
Yeah, okay, so I'm building a team from each decade. That's an interesting one. So I mean, names that are just coming off the right away, like Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, but then look, Derek Jeter, Pedro Martinez, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Otani. That's a tough one. And I don't know, Sean, and I love you if I can answer that, you know, in a rapid fire sort of way, but it's an interesting one. It is. But those are just some of the names right there that I've Randy Johnson, if I could start Greg Maddux, if I could start my team. But then I also have to go deeper and say, all right, what about the postseason? What about the guys that, you know, elevated their game? Like, I can't just have star power. I need guys, because Barry Bonds had his struggles in October. I need guys that can hit once I get there, and guys that are clutch, that might not be the all-star Hall of Fame type of names, because I need that in order to win. That's what made those 90s Yankees teams so special. It was, yeah, you talk about the core four, but the Brocious, Knobloch, all the guys that came out of that bullpen, even the bench players that were stars at one point, but then were more role guys. That's what you're looking at when you're trying to build a baseball team. Let's head out to Rob in Hillsdale. He hasn't asked Tommy anything question for me. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Tommy. How's it going, man? We're about the same age, and I think we have the same taste in movies. So I just kind of want to know, what's your favorite Adam Sandler movie? I know there's a lot of choices, but I want to know what's your favorite.
Wow. Okay, let me give you, I will give you one that I think is, it's not my favorite, but I think it's underrated. Click.
Okay. Click's a good one. Click's a good one. I mean, honestly, my favorite is probably Happy Gilmore. I mean, you can't really beat that. The first one, though, obviously not the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Happy Gilmore, the early Sandler stuff, Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison. But the reason why I didn't want to go Happy Gilmore, because sometimes that's just the answer. You know what? I mean, I loved Uncut Gems. That was tremendous. That was so good. But yeah, Click, I think, is underappreciated. I really like 50 First Dates. I just watched one that I haven't seen before, and it's not great, but it's, you know, it's Brooklyn Decker and Jennifer Aniston. So from that perspective, it was good. And that's Just Go With It. And it wasn't great, but it was solid. Grown Ups is on all the time, literally. I mean, I don't know who did Adam Sandler have to pay to have that movie on literally every time. I mean, I can't turn on the television and Grown Ups is not on. It's like, how many times does this movie have to be shown to us?
You see, they're coming out with three.
And it's not that it's bad, but like, Wedding Singer, Waterboy. He's got so many good ones. Even the ones that weren't so great. Like, I feel like people didn't like Don't Mess With The Zohan. Like, Big Daddy's a good one, don't get me wrong. But, I like, Sandler has so many good movies, but I feel like Uncut Gems, like I said, is awesome, which it's hard to... I mean, you could air it on regular cable, but you obviously have to bleep about a bunch of stuff, which, look, I watch Goodfellas on basic cable, and I still enjoy it, even though they cut out most of the good parts because they have to sort of chew out the naughty words. But for all the movies he's done, Longest Yard, Hustle, Mr. Deeds, the one that's on all the time is Grown Ups. And it's for the cast, it's okay. Meaning it should be better based on the cast they have. It's fine. It's okay. It's solid. It's fine. It's not offensive or anything. But that one for me, and maybe I'm wrong, but I just, or maybe I'm not wrong, but maybe I'm just missing it when his other movies are on. But I feel like every time I turn on the television on a weekend, freaking Grown Ups is on the TV. It's like enough already. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Not an Ask Tommy Anything, but just more of a basic Yankee question coming from Ben here. What's going on, Ben?
Tommy.
Hey, what's
thanks
up?
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, of course. You got it.
Wow. All right. Well, first of all, I've only been listening to this station for about a year.
Really? And, interesting. Are you new? Are you new to the area, or you just weren't a fan of Sports Talk Radio? Like, what got you to listen to WFAN about a year ago?
A situation where my cable went out, and it was just kind of, it was a bad time for me.
Well, hopefully listening to us, Ben, because this is always my hope that got you through it, and hopefully things are better, and by listening to the station, because it is like a companion. You know, Ben, you could turn on the television, and I feel like there's like a disconnect, but the beauty of radio, it's almost like a one-on-one kind of personal relationship. Like, we feel like we're in the room together, even though we're not. You know, I always felt that with radio, and it's just like a friend there for you 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and I'm finding that out, and
yep.
Like, you're definitely one of my faves to listen to. You, Keith McPherson.
Thank you.
Laura Rubenstein, and you guys rock.
Appreciate it.
So about, let me see, I want to see some of the movies. So my situation was, I came up, like, where mostly on television, there was a lot of family shows, whether it was like a series show.
Right.
Or sitcom.
Sitcoms. Yeah, yeah.
And, of course. And so I was like that type of kid who always wanted to go to movies with friends, right? And
mm-hmm.
I know more, I have more acquaintances and more work friends than I actually have friends.
Right. Somebody that, yeah, exactly. Like you go, you know, to work. Yeah, I definitely know what you're saying. You may not hang out with them socially, so, or like even go to a movie with.
Right. So, so fast forward, I would say, I think it was maybe 2005. I just made up my mind. For years, I was waiting. I mean, I was waiting to go, waiting with for friends so I can go with it. It just wasn't happening. So, like, in 2005, I said, you know what? Let me just go check out a movie by myself.
You rolled solo.
Yeah, I rolled solo, man.
And how'd it go?
I would say from 2005 up to maybe 2020, I was going just about every weekend, man, to see something.
And more, I would imagine, now, Ben, did you go more matinee, or you went at night, or how would you roll?
It did not matter.
Okay.
I mean, mostly,
good for you.
Mostly it was at night. But, like, if it was, like, on a Saturday, sometimes if I'm going to see, like, two movies, it would be, like, in the afternoon.
Wow,
and
two movies.
Mostly it would be at night, and it can be a comedy, it can be a chick flick, it can be an action.
Yeah, you didn't allow the genre to dictate whether or not you were going to go because you were kind of going by yourself. I respect that. And like I said, I always kind of felt like there was a negative connotation attached to it, but I'm coming around on it, and I'm just at a point now, Ben, almost like where you were, where, look, my wife doesn't want to go, my friends are all married, I don't want to bother everybody, and I want to go at like Tuesday at 1 o'clock because I work after hours, I work at night.
Right.
So I'm just going to go by myself. I think that's where I'm at. But so I appreciate, you know, sharing your story with me and the audience. Now, you said you had something on the Yankees as well?
Yeah. You know what? And it's about the Yankees, but it's more about the art of baseball. I'm
okay.
A 40-year Yankee fan. I mean, I was watching them since high school, but I'm that type of fan where throughout the offseason, I like to follow up with them throughout. You know, I like to see what's happening in AAA, whether it's a player or a coach. I love watching the spring training games. This is all the years. So, you know, you pick up things here and there. And I realize people don't realize, I mean, even the longest fans don't realize baseball is an art. And sometimes it goes deeper than the player. And what I'm getting at is the coaching. People say, oh, it's not the coaching, it's not the hitting coaching. And I mean, time and time again, it's not always that. But time and time again, it proves coaching matters. Like, baseball's got, it's that sport that has all these coaches. First base, second base.
Right. I mean, think about all the bench coaches and then the manager. Yeah. If they didn't matter, they wouldn't be there. You know what I mean? And I appreciate the call, Ben. I think it's... Okay, so I'll meet you halfway. I do think it is important. I don't think it's as important as football. I think that is where it's the most important, coaching. And you see that on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis. But, hey, it's not like it doesn't matter. Just ask somebody that doesn't like Aaron Boone. There's millions in our audience that would say if Aaron Boone wasn't the manager, if Aaron Boone got fired or Aaron Boone wasn't the manager all these years, the Yankees would have won World Series by now. And you think back to that game one decision against the Dodgers to go to Cortez instead of Tim Hill and how things might have changed a couple years ago and the Yankees might have won a championship. So it is important. I don't think it's as important as the NFL, but it is important. Allie in Queens, she joins us next. What's up, Allie?
Okay, so I want to, like, piggyback, I guess, on you know, the whole, you know, Adam Sandler grown-up thing.
Yeah.
That makes me... Okay. So, yeah, I mean, watching Grown Ups makes me realize that, you know, how different dating is feels nowadays. Absolutely. And I think I can say that for a lot of people. The movie's about real relationships, family and relationships, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And growth through spending time together. Nowadays, social media has changed so much. People have endless options and are constantly seeking validation. So it feels genuine connection are hard to find every...
We got you there. Is she still with us?
Not for nothing, but I've also, like, approached men, like, nowadays. Like, it feels more transactional relationships.
You know, I've heard that too, Allie, and I'm not going to ask you your age or anything, but I've heard that more where, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and she is 30, 31, and she said the same exact thing to me. And I was like, really? And I think it has a lot to do with social media or dating apps or just the mentality people have. But a lot of people, like
absolutely.
I said, I was saying it before, but I was like this when I was, now I'm in my 40s, but I always said, yeah, wait till your 30s to get married. But I think a lot of people have that mentality now and they just kind of view it, like you said, more transactional. They're not looking to settle down until they're way older.
Correct.
And I think some of that too is financial. You know, it's expensive to be on this planet Earth now. And it just makes connection harder because, like you said.
It's more complicated.
Yep.
Correct.
It's messy.
Finding someone who wants to build something like real can feel a lot more hard than it used to. So I feel like, yeah, I mean, the fact that they're playing it over and over again is just because they don't want people to feel like, hey, this is the world that we live now, but hey, this is what it has to feel like.
Simpler times, so, or just simpler, you know, things. Like you said, like the grown-ups, it's kind of just, they go to a water park or whatever they were doing. It was like sort of life because... For me, yeah, I'm at that age where I remember life before the craziness we have now with social media and stuff like that. Like, I was a kid, there was no Facebook, there was no TikTok or Instagram, or even cell phones. Now, like, little kids have cell phones. I had a beeper, but I was also in high school, for God's sake. So,
God, I miss those days. Do not miss beepers. Nextel, hello. Like, we used to, like, thrive on those things. Like, that was the...
We'll cut her off. We'll cut her. That's two. We're going to give her two strikes. You're out. Yeah, I know, Nico. We gave her two there. Well, luckily, she cursed, and, you know, we're having a conversation. Listen, Allie, if it was up to me, we would talk, and we could curse, and we could just move on, but we can't do that. So what I would say is that when it comes to back in the day, I was going to ask her this. Now I can't, but there's a part of me that just misses a world where you could just disconnect. You know what I mean? Nowadays, you can't. You just, you could be, you know, like in the White Lotus season that came out, was it with Walton Goggins? I think that was last year, right? Yeah, it was last year. And they have that one, the one family that they put their cell phones sort of with the concierge when they get to the hotel. Yeah, because that's a TV show. That doesn't happen. And I feel like we just don't know how to disconnect anymore. We don't know how to just be not attached to our cell phones or, you know, even like I talk about this all the time with the people that work here. It's like, dude, you know, you can take a couple weeks off and just disconnect from the radio station. It's okay. You don't have to do a podcast. You don't have to do a reactionary video. You don't have, it's okay to just disconnect a little bit. And I understand what we do when people want to get our thoughts and opinions on stuff. But what are you going to follow me in the bathroom? You're going to come in the bedroom when I'm with my wife and you want to hear my opinion on the Mets? I mean, we're allowed to have a life. Leonardo DiCaprio's not acting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's okay. That's just me. Again, I know I can have off-the-wall opinions, but when it comes to everything, if you've listened to the show. But that's just me. And I break the chops of a lot of my coworkers here when I feel like they can't disconnect when they go on vacation. It's like you've earned the right to go to Lake George or whatever and sit there and not have to tweet about the Giants. Yes, I'm talking about Marash, but he knows that. I've talked about, and Evan too. They're the biggest offenders. I know, you love it. And Evan told me, I never take a vacation from the Mets. Well, perhaps you should. No, but I mean, it's one of those things where I that's just me. Not everybody is necessarily wired that way. But I do miss a time where it wasn't all social media and it was a simpler, in my day, it was simpler, but it was. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Frank in Manhattan. What's up, Frank?
Tommy Chalupa. How about that nickname?
Not bad. I like it. Well, listen, I like all of them. Here's what I would say, Frankie. Any caller or listener that comes up with a nickname, I'm all for. We'll clip that. Nico can grab that now. I love the caller participation for that. That goes for anybody listening out there. If you have a Tommy nickname, don't ever hesitate to call up because we will add it to the many Tommies that exist.
As a matter of fact, I actually like that one. You know, I was supposed to go to FanFest that Saturday.
You were? Yeah, and whatever happened about that? Because I know we spoke week of.
What happened was that night we were talking on a Thursday. My buddy was online, and I mentioned to you that he was looking at the date and all that.
Yep.
And he bought it for Friday. And then I went up, got up there. I saw Keith McPherson, and I told him, Keith, this is Frank from Manhattan. He said, give me a few minutes. I'm almost finished. He was taping, I think he was taping some fashion, like he was promoting a fashion.
Okay.
Because he was looking into the camera.
Right, and this was Friday, right? This was Friday.
I went back around later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back around later and I spoke to Joe West, country boy Joe West.
Uh-huh, yep.
Yeah, because many years ago, he went into a restaurant where I used to work at.
Yeah.
And we had a bar on one side and a pizzeria and steam table on the other side. And we had a jukebox. Not many people know what a jukebox is. But
yeah, well, I mean, I will say this. You know, it's funny that you say that, Frank. And I think about that kind of stuff all the time, too. I think enough people in our audience, even if you're younger, you're aware of what a jukebox is. But there are definitely less of them, if any, around these days. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So what happened was, a matter of fact, he pulled out a 45, small 45. Gave it to my boss, because he knew my boss from way back when.
Right.
He gave it to my boss. My boss put it in the jukebox, and, you know, it got some plays. But that day, he gave us tickets. He appreciated that my boss took the record, so he gave us tickets to see the Mets play, I think it was San Diego that day.
Wow.
And a couple of guys, it was two tickets, one for me, and one of the other guys went. We went to pick it up 1 hour before game time in 1986. 1 hour before game time, and we had box seats right behind the Met dugout.
And then you got Great. To, and then you hadn't seen him in all these years, and then you got to see him at Fanatics Fest. But how come you didn't go on? I still am a little confused. How come you didn't go on Saturday to Fanatics Fest this year?
No. Because my friend, when I was talking to him Thursday, he was already working, and he was on his lunch break, dinner break. And he bought the ticket.
He already had the ticket.
Friday.
Got it. Yeah, because Frankie, I was looking for you on Saturday.
By the time I told him that I was speaking to you, it was already too late. He already booked for Friday.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, listen, you know, friends in need are a pest. But on Saturday, because I remember the phone call, and I met a bunch of people at Fanatics Fest. Everybody was super nice, super... You know, they wanted to take a picture. They wanted to talk. Everybody was super, super warm and inviting and nice. And that's always great because this form of entertainment, you don't get to meet the audience that much. you know, I don't perform or whatever you want to call it. I don't do a show in front of the audience. So I don't get to see everybody and meet everybody. So when we get to step out and do shows like Fanatics Fest, it's always great because I get to meet people. But I remember your call, Frankie, because you called me like 2 days before, and then Saturday rolled around and I didn't see you. And I was like, I don't know what happened to Frankie. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. You heard a few this hour. If you want to jump on now, ask me anything. You can ask Tommy anything, which is, yeah, look, you ask me whatever you want, whatever's on your mind. It's your once a week opportunity to do so. But coming up, Giants, in particular, Odell Beckham Jr. I have a personal story I want to share about Odell, and I just want to talk about his performance so far in training camp and what I think he's going to be this season for the Giants. The phone number to call is 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. If you have any Ask Tommy Anythings, you can hop aboard right now and get to it. As far as the Giants, I was obviously one of the people here on this radio station championing for a Odell Beckham Jr. Giants reunion. I thought it would be a great way for Odell to kind of end his career where it started with the Giants. He has a relationship with Harbaugh. He's got a relationship with Dart. Even if it's just as a veteran presence in the locker room, I mean, this is a team that has rostered Darius Slayton and Jalin Hyatt for years now. Certainly they can find room for Odell Beckham. And I always went into it with the idea of the Odell we saw originally with the Giants, we're not getting that player. The Odell we saw with the Rams win a Super Bowl and could have won the MVP in that game if he hadn't gotten hurt, probably not going to see that guy either. But just the idea of Odell being around, the aura, the story, the full circle, I was all on board for it. And there were times where it seemed like it wasn't going to happen. But I'm glad it did. And now that I see him, first of all, it's surreal and amazing to just see him on the field with Malik Nabers. And it's just surreal to see Odell in a Giants uniform. Feels like an alternate universe. And for a lot of Giant fans out there, I kind of use the comparison of Carmelo, because Melo, for a lot of Knick fans, that was their guy. And I know there were a lot of Knick fans my age, like in their 40s, maybe a little bit older, that would always kind of bash Carmelo because they can hearken back to the 90s. And not that the 90s Knicks had the success of winning a championship, but they certainly had more success than Melo did with his Knick run. But for many, Melo was their guy. Many Knick fans. Same thing with Odell. For many Giants, like, yeah, look, my guy when I was growing up was Imani Toomer. But I'm also understanding that Odell was a really exciting player. And for a lot of Giant fans, they were upset to see him go, and that was their guy growing up. And how cool it is to see him back on the team. And the way things have kind of shaken up here. Now, look, the Giants added a lot of wide receivers. A lot. And part of that is because they needed to beef up the room. And I think another part of it is the nature. And now, look, he didn't go on the pup list, which is a great sign. But I think you didn't know that a bunch of months ago. The idea of, well, we don't know when we're going to see Malik Nabers on a football field this year. So we're going to need some insurance. But whether it's Darnell Mooney, Calvin Austin, even Isaiah Likely, who's more of a tight end by trade, but he's a wide receiver by his skill set. And I think he's going to play the slot, which has obviously been voided here with the departure of Wandale Robinson. You drafted Malachi Fields. You brought in, you know, obviously Odell and Juju Smith-Schuster and Berrios and just a whole cavalcade of wide receivers. So the Giants have a lot of options there. Odell, to me, is the most fascinating one, the most interesting one. Yes, because of the story. But also, I'm just so intrigued to see what he has left. I'm so intrigued by that. And maybe it's just a moment here, a moment there, and he's around for veteran leadership, and he rides off into the sunset. And he has said all the right things since coming back to the team. And I think that also why I'm glad he's back is because this is a way for him to rehab his image with some Giant fans that did not like him and didn't like some of the antics, which, look, he was a younger, immature player. And I said this all offseason. I said the Beckham that's coming back is a guy I'm sure that's very humbled and honored to be getting this opportunity. And he's not going to behave. if you had a big problem with it, and if you didn't, some people didn't, but if you, and I never really cared that much about the proposing to a net or when he pretended to be a dog on the field and go number one, like that stuff to me, you know, I've seen Joe Horn pull out a cell phone. I used to see Chad Ochocinco do stuff and Terrell Owens and receivers. And yeah, I mean, the antics and things of that nature to me are funny and they're harmless. Now, if it's stuff that sort of poisons the locker room, yeah, absolutely. But you knew you weren't getting that player, or at least I did, when the Giants brought him back, because it's a totally different era of Beckham's career. And if anything, he could be a mentor to a Malik Nabers and even a Jackson Dart. Hey, look, these are some of the things I did wrong, or some of the things that didn't go over very well. Perhaps you in your young careers shouldn't follow in my footsteps from that point of view. But as we get more and more into training camp, you know, and I said this the other night, I'm starting to talk myself into OBJ having an impact on this team. I'm starting to talk myself into it. And I'm fighting it for this reason, because I know how I can get. I know that sometimes I could take it a little too far. I'll admit that. But especially with something like this, that I want to will it to existence. And I'm rooting for him, I'm rooting for it, and I'm rooting for my team. And just think about this. Even if you didn't like Odell and you're maybe not happy he's back, just think how cool it would be if Odell has 500 yards receiving this year, a couple touchdowns, really has a lot left in the tank. And I think for his age, not being in football recently, that's a really good year for him. I think just making a team and being out there at all is great, but I mean, just to have any type of impact on the field would be awesome. And would be such a cool story. And I think it would be such goodwill for this team that it needs to start building goodwill back up with the fans. Because there's been a lot of bad will for a very long time. This team has been a bleep show for forever, it feels like. Really, ever since Coughlin left. All right, you have a moment here with Dable, a moment there with McAdoo, but otherwise, it's been awful. And quite frankly, embarrassing to how low they have sunk. But no longer are they, would you say sunken? I don't know what the right word would be there, but whatever, it doesn't matter. No longer are they in the position they've been in. They are now risen. They are now manned by the quarterback in Jackson Dart, who I believe is the next great quarterback in this league. I, for one, don't care what he does socially. In fact, I'd rather have my quarterback be out there dating good-looking women and out in the mix, and so long as he's ready to go for football and ready to rock, I don't care what he's doing in March. I know Eli was the kind of guy that ate a PBJ with the crust cut off and studied football all day and night, and it certainly was success for him, and I'm sure Jackson is doing that as well, but I don't get too nuts about the celebrity aspect of it. If anything, I like that. I know you want a quarterback, you don't want a celebrity quarterback. I've heard the line a million times. But what you saw from Jackson Dart on the field last year, I mean, I saw a guy that didn't look like a rookie, didn't turn the ball over. The energy, the passion, the will, the want to win, everything was there, and that was as a rookie. So that's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm concentrating on. And for my money, he's got the goods. And then, of course, Harbaugh, who comes with a tremendous resume. One of the best of any coaches, left in the sport. And a CEO, he is, Harbaugh, a taskmaster. Maybe he did not hit a home run with that speech that went viral, nor did he have to. You know, that wasn't halftime of the Cowboy game week one or a playoff game, so I'm fine with that one kind of being a mid, seven, I would say that was, 7 out of 10 type of speech. But that combination of coach quarterback, like I talked about the Jets earlier, the Jets, to me, the reason why I think they're going to have a bad year, what ultimately is going to be good for them because they're going to get their quarterback, is because I don't believe in Geno Smith, I don't believe in Aaron Glenn, and I do believe in Dart, and I do believe in Harbaugh. And their track record, at least with Harbaugh, would back up my thoughts on that. But there's just, and you've already seen and heard it, whether it's here on this radio station or if you dabble in the national media, the Giants are everybody's sleeper, everybody's darling, which I can understand if that worries you as a Giant fan, because like, oh boy, they're overhyped, they're not going to live up to those standards. I have giant expectations for this season, and I expect a giant turnaround. And if the Giants don't make the playoffs, I would view it as a giant disappointment. I just think the talent's there. It was always about coaching to me with this team, never really about the personnel. Now that they have the right coaching staff and a guy in Harbaugh, the Harbaughs win. Say whatever you want about them. They're quirky, whatever. They wear, you know, corduroy pants, whatever. I'm not the fashion police. What I care about is winning, and they know how to win football games. And I expect the Giants to win football games right out of the gate. And I just think it's a new... The way I feel about the Giants now, okay, when I wake up every day and I'm like, oh, how I feel about the state of the franchise of the Giants. It's the same way I felt about the Knicks over these last couple of years, where it's just a matter of time before they break through. And obviously the Knicks did a lot before they won the championship. I'm not trying to insinuate that the Giants are in the category of the Knicks where the Knicks are now. I'm saying when I knew kind of, hey, this Knicks team is different. I think they're going to win a championship at some point with this group. I feel the same way about this giant team that they have right now. I don't know what year it's going to be, obviously, but I feel very strongly about this combination of Dart and Harbaugh and them ultimately winning and winning the big one. Now, I'll say this, caveat. And it's not going to be across the board, but I do think there will be some Giant fans. It's hard to always say what the percentage is going to be, but I do think that this will be how some Giant fans react. And that is, everything's great right now. Everything's amazing. It's a honeymoon period. We love this. We love this. We love this. We love this. Even to the point where I think the people that defended the speech that Harbaugh gave, look, guys, it wasn't a good speech. It's okay. It's okay to say it was okay. I don't think it was horrible. I don't get why people trashed it either. So I thought, you know, the polarizing viewpoints on that speech were, it took me aback. I was like, really? I thought, because I wasn't even going to necessarily even talk about it. And then, because I watched it, I was like, eh. And then I see the reaction to it on social media and how people are defending it to the death and some people are trashing it. I was like, whoa, what am I missing here? And I think it's not the speech. It's the idea of Harbaugh. It's the idea of there are a lot of people that need to defend this because in Harbaugh, we trust. He's the savior. We finally have a real head coach. So no matter what, we defend. And then, you know, and this could be a lot of Ravens fans who have, you know, sour grapes. They're going to kind of go after Harbaugh because they were kind of, and I have family that are Raven fans. They were ready to move on. But you know what? Sometimes divorces are the right thing. And I think for Harbaugh and for the Ravens, it was the right time for divorce. But you can't take away what Harbaugh did there in Baltimore. You can't take away what he did with Lamar Jackson. You win multiple MVPs. There's a lot to be excited about. But things have been so bad for so long. If this season doesn't go well, I think the honeymoon will be over. Over. And yes, there will be always people that look to rationalize the season and tell you this, that, and hey, I'm going to go number one on your leg and tell you it's raining. But the reality is if it's a bad year and things don't look good, the honeymoon will end. So I think there's a lot of, what I'm saying is I think there's a lot of pressure on Harbaugh to win right out of the gate. I do. I mean, I have giant expectations. I want them in the playoffs. I want, you know, 8 to 10 wins or forget 8. I mean, really, I say 8 to 10 because whatever gets them in. If they win 10, great. But I want a win total that gets them in the playoffs. And the NFC is pretty damn good. So it's probably going to, unless you're in the NFC South where you can win the division with the 7 wins, to get into the playoffs, you're probably going to have to win 9-10 games. So right around that area town is where the Giants need to be, in my mind. And that's a lot to ask for in 1 year. Don't care, because I saw what happened last year with a bunch of teams, including New England, probably the best example, where you brought in an established coach, young quarterback, and they went to the Super Bowl. And yeah, Lady Luck was on the Patriots' side, but so what? Doesn't matter. I don't care. What I care about is this team finally winning football games and getting back to the playoffs. And I think it should happen immediately. And if it doesn't, I would view it as a giant disappointment. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you're on hold, we will get to you. Final hour here. If you want to jump on for some Ask Tommy Anythings, you can. That's your opportunity to ask me whatever you want. But Giants, Jets, Yankees, final hour here of the final after hours of the week. Mets, all of those things are on the table. At the phone number 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.